Flood contracts. Veronica Wakefield was a stunning woman with icy blue eyes and razor-sharp, blood-red nails. Her office was like a museum of horrors, adorned with antique parchments and legal documents bound in human skin. She specialized in contracts, making deals with the desperate and the damned. She offered solutions to their problems, but at a steep price, their immortal soul. One day, a young man named Elias stumbled into her office, his face haggard and anxious. His life was on the line as he faced insurmountable gambling debts and the wrath of a ruthless loan shark. Desperate for a way out, he turned to Veronica for help. Seizing upon an opportunity, she offered him a seemingly simple solution, a blood contract. In exchange for signing away his soul, she would eliminate his immediate problems. Blindly driven by desperation, Elias agreed without truly understanding the consequences of his decision. The contract was sealed during a chilling ritualistic ceremony involving flickering candlelight and dark magic. As Elias signed his name in blood, an icy wave slithered through him, a chilling presence taking root in his very core. He had unwittingly sold his freedom for a false sense of security. Wakefield held up her end of the bargain, paying off Elias's debts and silencing the loan shark. But Elias's life quickly became a nightmare. Haunted by night terrors and plagued by a spectral figure that taunted him day and night, he lost everything, his job, his friends, even his sanity. Desperate for relief from this living hell, Elias sought aid from a priest known for his expertise in the occult. The priest's horror only deepened when he saw the contract signed with Wakefield's hand. He revealed the terrifying truth. Veronica Wakefield was no ordinary lawyer. She was a succubus, feeding off the souls of the damned. The priest offered a glimmer of hope, a chance to break free from Wakefield's grasp. But it would require a risky ceremonial cleansing, one that could potentially cost Elias his life. With nothing left to lose, Elias begrudgingly agreed to the ritual. A nightmarish ordeal would play out within the confines of a dimly lit church, a battle of good against evil. The air was thick with the smell of incense and fear as the priest invoked ancient powers, his voice shaking the very foundations of the building. As the ritual ended, Elias felt an overwhelming sense of dread wash over him. He knew this was no ordinary contract. It was a pact with the devil. An otherworldly light filled the room. The blood contract crackled and burned, dissolving into dust as Wakefield's spectral form shrieked in agony. Elias watched as the succubus vanished, leaving behind a faint echo of her chilling laughter. Elias emerged from the harrowing tribulation, his body covered in scars that would never fully heal. The haunting whispers and sinister presence of darkness lingered in his mind, tormenting him day and night. The memory of that fateful day in the Covenant, bearing his signature in bold red ink, served as a constant reminder of the dangers waiting to ensnare the unwary and devour their souls. From that moment forward, he vowed to always remember the valuable lesson learned. Some deals are simply not worth making, no matter how desperate one's situation may seem. The Whispering Walls. Jasper Crowe, a man of immense wealth and influence, sat behind his mahogany desk in a dimly lit office of a decaying mansion, his piercing gaze fixed on the young woman standing before him. Whispers of his dark reputation preceded him, sending shivers coursing her spine. Eleanor had come seeking his help in settling her grandfather's estate, but as she spoke, Crowe remained silent, his sharp mind calculating every word and gesture. Crowe specialized in handling wills and estates, a seemingly innocuous practice that masked a far more sinister reality. With cunning manipulation tactics and a keen understanding of legal loopholes, he enriched himself by stealing from the deceased. For Eleanor, this realization came too late. As Crowe isolated her and whispered doubts about her family's intentions, she fell under his spell. Consumed by paranoia and fear, she became his pawn, signing away her inheritance and assisting him in his schemes. As the years went by and Crowe grew richer, the mansion seemed to absorb the echoes of his countless betrayals. Whispers reverberated through its halls at night, and phantom hands moved objects in the darkness. But for those who knew the truth about Jasper Crowe, it was no mystery. It was simply the house bearing witness to its master's true nature. As she crept through the mansion, Eleanor's heart raced, her mind consumed by guilt over her recent discovery. She stumbled upon a hidden room where stacks of incriminating documents revealed Crow's true nature, a master manipulator and thief who preyed on the vulnerable. She confronted Crow, and to her shock, his mask of charm and wealth shattered to reveal a cold, calculating predator. She handed over the evidence to the authorities, determined to bring him to justice. As the sound of Crow's handcuffs locking resounded through the once grand mansion, Eleanor burned with satisfaction. The deserted and decaying walls seemed to tremble, as if they too were aware of the dark secrets that had taken place within their confines. Each creak and murmur was a reminder of the lives destroyed by Jasper Crow. But for Eleanor, the crumbling estate represented more than just a past full of pain and suffering. It was a demonstration of her resilience and perseverance in the face of evil. She smiled triumphantly and walked away from the rundown mansion, satisfied that justice had been served at last. Law and orderless, Ambrose Thorne was not a man who inspired trust. His shadowy figure loomed in the doorway of his law firm, a foreboding Victorian mansion on the edge of the city. The sardonic grin etched into his face promised nothing but trouble. He was notorious for defending the indefensible, often taking on cases for a questionable group of individuals, including murderers, mobsters, and other unsavory characters. With a talent for twisting the truth and manipulating evidence, he had never lost a case. Clara walked nervously into his office, her father's fate hanging in the balance. She had heard about Thorne's reputation and hoped he could help save her family from financial ruin. But as he delved into the details of her father's embezzlement charges, Clara began to realize she was dealing with a dangerous and unpredictable man. Thorne saw an opportunity to further his ambitions in this seemingly straightforward case. As he pulled strings behind the scenes and manipulated events in court, Clara's father became the perfect scapegoat for powerful figures involved in corruption. In her naivety, Clara had unleashed a monster by seeking Thorne's help. As the trial came to an end and Clara's father faced sentencing, she watched in horror as Thorne spun his web of deceit and secured a victory for himself. She had put her trust in him, only to be betrayed by his cunning ways. It was at that precise moment that she finally saw Ambrose Thorne for who he truly was, a cunning and manipulative individual with no concern for what was right or wrong. For months, Thorne had been the untouchable puppet master, pulling strings and shielding powerful figures from their scandals. But when he became too ambitious and unpredictable for their taste, they turned on him without hesitation. In a cruel twist of fate, Thorne was framed for a crime that he had helped cover up. As his world crumbled around him, Thorne found himself abandoned by those whom he thought were allies. In a bold act of retaliation, he revealed the secret plot, putting himself at risk in the process. The courtroom erupted into a war zone as Thorne prepared to face his former allies in a battle of morality. With his back against the wall, he fought with every ounce of strength, revealing the corrupt underbelly of the city and exposing his deceitful schemes. The judge's gavel slammed down, sealing Thorne's fate with finality. Darkness and chaos would be forever intertwined with his name, leaving a trail of destruction and shattered lives in his wake. As Thorne walked away, the haunting memory of his chilling smile lingered, a constant reminder of the devil's advocate that always danced on the edge of annihilation. And as the city lay in ruins, Thorne reveled in the chaos that he had wrought, a twisted grin still etched on his face until the very end. Haunted halls. The sterile facade of Hopewell Pediatric Wing could not conceal the lingering tragedy that seeped through its walls. Despite the passage of decades since the fire, unsettling energy still hummed through the hospital corridors, a haunting presence beneath the forced cheer of laughter and beeping IV machines. Dr. Amara Kapoor, experienced in healing both broken bones and wounded spirits, sensed it keenly, a disturbance beneath her practiced smile. Rumors spread like trails of smoke, with children claiming to see fleeting shadows in the mirrored ceilings and nurses reporting strange occurrences. Toys moved on their own and equipment malfunctioned with a sinister buzz. Then came the disappearances. Little Timmy, the cherubic boy with a sunflower tucked behind his ear, mysteriously vanished from his hospital ward one moonlit night. After hours of frantic searching, he was found curled up in an abandoned wing of the building, his once cheerful expression twisted into a chilling and unnatural painted grin. And he was not the only one. One by one, other children disappeared, only to reappear later with their eyes glazed over and vacant smiles that resembled the eerie antics of a clown. The hospital corridors were filled with an ominous aura, as if the building itself was cursed, trapping its innocent victims in a nightmare world where nothing was as it seemed. Hopewell, once a beacon of hope and healing, lay in ruins, a canvas of paranoia and fear. Amara, with her analytical mind and determined spirit, delved into the hospital's dusty archives, searching for any clue that would shed light on the mysterious figure known only as Fizzy. The name itself sent shivers down her spine, evoking memories of a jovial clown whose painted smile hid a cruel and twisted mind. And then came the night when the flames engulfed Hopewell, consuming everything in their path and leaving behind only nightmares and ash, the echoes of laughter and life snuffed out in an instant, replaced by a ghostly silence that hung heavily in the air. Fizzy's whispers echoed through the abandoned hallways. Amara remembered the night of the fire when she heard him laughing as he watched the chaos unfold. Now he had taken on a new form, that of a distorted figure in funhouse mirrors, preying on the vulnerable and stealing their innocence. And every night, Amara sensed his presence, a dark and unsettling premonition that wouldn't go away. Unable to sleep one night, she followed a haunting melody that led her to the burnt wing. The moonlight cast eerie shadows on the charred walls, recreating twisted scenes of trapped children forced to watch Fizzy's depraved performances. Fizzy appeared before her, a spectral figure dressed in a chaotic mix of shadows, his grin an unsettling jagged slash against the ashen background. Amara's heart pounded against her ribs, but she refused to let fear consume her. Instead, a chilling calm settled over her as she locked eyes with the twisted echo of a man. In that moment, she knew exactly how to fight him, not with the sharp blades of scalpels and the precise stitching of sutures, but with the powerful weapon of her stories. These tales, carefully crafted for each patient, were filled with the strength of bravery and the light of hope. As she spoke, she felt the darkness around him falter, unable to resist the radiant force of her words. Amara's narratives were more than just medicine. They were a source of healing for both physical and emotional wounds. Amara wove a tale of a fearless princess warrior, confronting a cackling shadow beast within the fiery walls of a fortress. With every word, the air sparked and the shadows trembled. The creature, known as Fizzy to some and feared by many, could no longer contain his amusement. His muscles rippled and his sharp teeth glistened in the dim light. With a low growl rumbling in his throat, he lunged forward, ready to unleash his power. But Amara evaded his attack while her voice rose to a crescendo. She weaved the final spell, a story of light triumphing over darkness. The room erupted in a whirlwind of light and shadow, and when it settled, Fizzy was nowhere to be seen, leaving only an eerie echo of his laughter behind. The sick children of Hopewell slept peacefully that night, their fears replaced by dreams of brave princesses and twinkling fireflies. But a sinister presence lingered just below the surface, waiting to reemerge. In the forgotten corner of an innocent child's drawing, a single figure stood out, a grotesque clown with jagged teeth and a familiar, mocking grin. Even more unsettling was the faint flicker of darkness dancing in Amara's eyes, a haunting reminder of the beast she had exiled, but could never fully conquer. The ghostly remnants of Fizzy's malicious spirit clung to her like a grim trophy of the brutal battle won, and the ongoing conflict that lay ahead. Laughter's toll. Barnaby Bannister, once hailed as the master of jokes and the king of punchlines, was drowning in a sea of silence. His once bubbly humor had gone flat, leaving him feeling as deflated as a discarded balloon animal in a forgotten playroom. But fate intervened when he stumbled upon a dusty old bookstore, and an ancient leather-bound tome caught his eye. Its pages promised mirth and mayhem, with punchlines laced with arsenic. It called itself the Grim Grimoire of Giggles, a twisted jester's diary filled with jokes darker than midnight and funnier than a funeral. Barnaby stumbled onto the stage the next night, his eyes gleaming with a manic energy. As he gripped the mic stand, his voice crackled and cackled with morbid glee. He launched into his routine, weaving tales of politicians spontaneously combusting mid-speech and financiers tripping over invisible banana peels of misfortune. His words dripped with a dark humor that seemed to intoxicate the audience. The initial polite chuckles quickly turned into the roaring laughter of a tidal wave crashing onto the shore. Barnaby's every movement commanded their attention, his shadowed sorcery captivating them like moths drawn to a flame. As the sun rose over the city, a strange scene greeted its inhabitants. Politicians stumbled out of their offices with smoldering toupees, attempting to deliver serious speeches, but only eliciting uncontrollable laughter from onlookers. The stock market was in chaos, with investors slipping and falling on banana peels and fortunes disappearing into thin air. Even lovers couldn't escape the effects. They laughed so hard that their bodies dissolved into shimmering confetti. Barnaby watched it all with growing panic. He had unknowingly unleashed a powerful force upon the city, known as the Laughter Worm. This ancient being fed off dark humor and was now causing chaos and destruction in its wake. The laughter grew louder and more intense, drowning out any screams or cries for help. The once orderly buildings pulsated with distorted mirth, their windows oozing a gas that induced fits of laughter in anyone who breathed it in. Traffic lights flashed manically, cars swerving and bumping along a road paved with punchlines. A twisted carnival had taken over the city, with the Laughter Worm at its center, reveling in the madness and misery it had created. As Barnaby stood on the stage, his heart pounded against his chest and sweat dripped down his face. He felt the worm's presence lurking in the shadows, its tendrils slithering toward him with promises of power and a throne built on chaos. But as he spoke, a piece of his inner comedian refused to be silenced. He knew true laughter came from shared joy, not fear and destruction. So he frantically searched through the grimoire for a punchline that could defeat this beast spawned from fear. And in a moment of clarity, he found it, not in a malicious cackle, but in a quiet sigh that pointed out the absurdity of the worm's existence, its insatiable appetite nothing more than an endless joke. As he delivered this insight to the worm, a hush fell over the city. The beast, unable to find humor in its own existence, materialized in all its grotesque form, a writhing mass of shadows, its laughter choked in its throat. The city was still recovering from the chaos and strange occurrences caused by Barnaby's twisted sense of humor. The banana peels vanished, buildings reverted to their previous states, and even politicians seemed to have sprouted new hair, although not always tastefully. Barnaby, alone on the stage, carried the heavy burden of his final joke on his conscience. He came to the realization that he was not a hero, but a fool who had stumbled into darkness and barely managed to escape unscathed. As he picked up the now blank grimoire, he vowed never to use its power for comedy again. Instead, he would become a storyteller, using cautionary tales to warn others of the danger of unleashing laughter without thought or consequence. During the quiet hours of the night, when the stillness felt suffocating, Barnaby's mind would betray him. The worm's punchline seeped into his thoughts, a haunting reminder of the darkness that lurked behind every joke. It was a constant presence, evidence of the madness that had consumed him during his time as a comedian in the Twisted City, and he knew that no matter how hard he tried to escape it, the darkness would always linger like a scar, ready to resurface and overwhelm him once more. Whispers of giggles. In Atlas, a desolate town where cornfields swayed with eerie whispers and secrets louder still, 10-year-old Mikey's heart was held captive by terror. It remained trapped beneath a ribcage that bore the bruises of perpetual fear, each beat echoing with the looming presence of a creepy clown. With his painted smile and cold button eyes, the haunting figure tormented Mikey relentlessly in his nightmares, filling him with crippling dread at every turn. Mikey couldn't escape the clowns that seemed to be everywhere in his small town. The faded circus poster at the town hall taunted him every time he walked by, while his dentist's porcelain clown figurine filled him with a sense of dread during checkups. The painted grins on their faces felt like a sinister joke, and he knew it was only a matter of time before they would demand tears and screams from their unsuspecting victims. Amidst the sweltering heat of a July afternoon, Atlas held its annual festival. Mikey's friends dragged him along, promising cotton candy and Ferris wheel rides. But as they approached the carnival grounds, the once lively atmosphere curdled under the harsh sun. The cheerful music morphed into a discordant drone, and the scent of buttery popcorn was choked by the metallic tang of fear. A group of children dressed in miniature clown costumes approached, their painted smiles radiating an eerie warmth. Mikey's throat constricted, his pulse racing as he bolted through the crowded fairgrounds, the carnival morphing into a twisted maze of grinning masks and garish banners. He stumbled into a darkened tent, the air thick with dust motes, swirling in a single sliver of sunlight. A wheezy chuckle echoed through the space, bouncing off the canvas walls. In the shadows, a figure lurked, cloaked in crimson velvet. Underneath his painted face, Mikey sensed something sinister lurking. It was Giggles, the town's legendary jester, and a relic of carnival's past. Mikey had always dismissed him as a figment of campfire tales, a boogeyman in oversized shoes. But standing face to face with that monstrous grin, every whispered story about Giggles's infamy felt like a bone-chilling truth. "Lost, little Mikey?" Giggles crooned, his voice a rusty hinge creaking open. "Come, come, join the fun." Mikey's breath came in short, sharp gasps as he stumbled backward, his foot catching on a discarded stool and sending him crashing to the ground. The light from the spotlight shifted, revealing a disturbing scene. Cages stacked on top of one another, each one holding a child frozen in terror, their faces twisted into manic grins. Mikey's scream was drowned out by the sound of chuckling as Giggles lunged toward him with a knife. Mikey fell to the ground, hitting his chin hard on the dirt floor. As everything went dark, the last thing he saw was Giggles looming over him, the metallic smell of blood mixing with the sickly sweet scent of popcorn in the air. As the haze of sleep lifted, Mikey realized that he was tightly bound to a wooden chair in the center of a grimy tent. The musty scent of damp soil and old canvas surrounded him, making it difficult to breathe. A spotlight illuminated the figure in front of him, Giggles with his twisted, painted face and maniacal grin. The sharp lines of his makeup seemed to distort his facial features, creating a grotesque and unsettling appearance. "Such fear, Mikey," Giggles rasped, the sound grating on Mikey's nerves. "But fear makes the fun all the sweeter." A sudden glint of silver caught Mikey's eye, a scalpel polished to a gleaming sheen, reflecting the harsh glare of the spotlight. The sound of cackling laughter filled the tent, vibrating through the air like a sinister omen. Giggles lifted his arms in a dramatic display and revealed a long crimson scarf from within his dark cloak. It hung heavily between his fingers, ready to be unfurled as he played out his macabre magic act. "One, two," Giggles counted, his grin widening with each word. "Three." The scarf whipped forward with a force that startled Mikey, momentarily blinding him. He heard the sickening sound of metal on bone, his scream drowned out by a sharp clang. As the scarf fell away, Mikey's vision blurred, and he could only make out shades of red and black. In a flash, he saw it clearly, his skin stitched onto Giggles, creating a malformed mosaic of flesh and fear. Every fiber of his being was consumed with repulsion and fear as he gazed upon the scene. The pain scorched every inch of Mikey's body, every nerve singed and screaming in agony. Yet, as he stood amid chaos, his fists clenched and body tensed, a small flame sparked deep within him. Mikey couldn't help but laugh as he accepted the chilling realization that he was no longer afraid. The darkness within him stirred with anticipation, craving screams and terror from those around him. His blood pulsed with an insatiable desire for destruction and chaos. Giggles tilted his head, a flicker of confusion marring his painted features. His dark eyes searched the reflection in Mikey's terrified gaze, a slow smile spreading across his face as he recognized his own twisted image staring back at him. Giggles chuckled, the sound sending shivers down Mikey's spine as he realized the true horror of their situation. "Welcome to the show, Mikey," Giggles whispered, his voice dripping with perverse joy. "Together, we'll paint the town red."